Welcome to a new edition of The Brand Called You. Today I have someone who's achieved a lot in the corporate world and is now doing some amazing work in social development. Seema Seth, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Seema is a master's in history. She's a PG diploma in personnel management and HR. She's spent 25 years in the corporate world in HR and training. And now she's focused on social development. She's passionate about child and women education. And she's the founder of Nai Disha, a school for children from marginalized communities. Seema, talk to us a little bit about your early career, some of your learnings, and maybe some of your challenges.
Sure. So I started very early. I started working when I was 18. Mm-hmm. And why that happened was because I was never interested in studying. So thankfully, my parents were not the types to say, agar padhna nahi hai, to shaadi karo. So then I went on to do my secretariat course from Calcutta. And I did that and came back to Dehradun. That's where I belong. And my schooling was at CGM Dehradun. So came back to Dehradun and took up a job with Wellam Boys School.
Okay.
All right. And at the age of 18. And what a great time I had. Because I was the youngest of the staff mm-hmm. and the oldest of the children.
Yeah.
So I got pampered by both of them. Mm-hmm. And of course, made the most of it because the teachers treated me like a child mm-hmm. and the children treated me like a buddy didi. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I had the best, got to attend most of the best camps.
Yeah.
Of course, from there on, and I mean, when I realized that was a learning, mm-hmm. that just being a class 11 pass mm-hmm. doesn't mm-hmm. work. Mm-hmm. So, then I enrolled myself to do correspondence okay. studies. Then I did my graduation. Then I did my master's in yeah. history. And of course, the PG HR happened much later. And my mother would always laugh at me. She would say, if you'd studied on time, probably in your old age, you wouldn't have been struggling. So all that happened. And of course, it was the best years of my life. 5 years I spent in Wellams.
Wow.
And then, of course, have had a very long corporate stint. Mm-hmm. About 25 years in the corporate world, multiple mm-hmm. organizations, of course, the longest being American Express,
okay.
where, of course, so one of the learnings that happened is that, you know, you really need to be working hard.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately for me, I got into a school where I realized that, you know, all the teachers are very well qualified mm-hmm. and you need to put in a lot of effort if you want to get somewhere in life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I learned that hard work really pays off. So I worked really hard, though I joined in very small roles in most of the organizations. But then I worked hard and climbed up the ladder. And American Express, of course, my last role was in human resources. I think all the organizations that I've been associated with, I've always come out with really good people who have inspired me and who I've learned a lot from.
Correct.
Over the years. And so 2004 is when I actually gave up my full-time job in American Express.
So what made you give up a lucrative career and move into social development?
In hindsight, when I actually sometimes think about it, I don't know why I gave up mm-hmm. a well-paying, lucrative mm-hmm. Job
corporate
in
career.
A very good organization mm-hmm. like American Express. But at that time, I think I was going through a very rough patch personally.
Mm-hmm.
And also, there had been a change of guard in the organization.
Okay.
And I couldn't deal with the politics, mm-hmm. internal politics. So 2004 is when I decided, okay, let's try doing something else. My son was just finishing school.
Mm-hmm.
He needed a lot of help.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it was a wrong decision, but
okay.
now when I think about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave it up. But it's not that I gave up the corporate world, because then I went on to do a lot of corporate training.
Okay.
I became a soft skill trainer
okay.
and worked a lot in the development sector, worked with assessment centers, which I continue to do because I really enjoy that.
Correct.
So it's though I gave up a full-time job, it's not that I gave up the corporate world, because I guess I needed to sustain
Correct.
And I needed some money coming in to
Correct.
Run my life.
Correct. And then what was the thinking behind founding Nai Disha?
You know, it's very interesting. And that's something, you know, some things are just meant to happen. And I think Nai Disha just happened. And I must tell you the story on how
yeah.
it happened. I have been very inclined towards the social sector. Even when I was in American Express, I used to lead a lot of these CSR activities. And I had always thought to myself that one day I just want to do this. And I had actually planned it for much later, but it happened much earlier. I used to be going to Sikandarpur village to volunteer my time, teach the children English there. And they were a pathetic state. I mean, I really thought that, I mean, it's education ke naam pe kuch dhabba hai, because nobody would pay attention to what these children. I used to have class 5 students. We used to teach them English and they didn't even know ABCD.
Wow.
So anyway, so this person, Sikandarpur village, you just can't get in with a car. So I used to take an auto, and the auto wala used to take me every day. And every day he'd ask me, madam, aap yahan se paise lete ho badhane ke liye? I said, nahin, meko achha lagta hai. He says, then I live in a basti and I have so many children there who don't go to school. Why don't you open a school there?
Okay.
And that's how it happened. I told him, find me 2 rooms because I don't want them to be sitting on the road and studying, because that's not how it happens.
Yeah.
He found me the 2 rooms and March 19, 2014 is when Naidisha started.
Wow.
So it's just something's just happened, and I'm so glad it happened because what I'm doing now brings me more happiness than anything else ever.
So, you know, you say that Naidisha talks about marginalized communities. First, tell me, how do you define marginalized communities? And second, what have been some of your learnings working with these communities?
See, sadly, marginalized, when I say it, marginalized communities, let me be very honest, these are people not below the poverty line.
Okay.
Because
so they're not economically marginalized?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, economically, educationally, whatever you say, it's, you know, they are living in a different world. And I don't think for them, even though the parents are working hard, they could be drivers, the mothers could be maids or cooks in people's homes. And I actually believe that, you know, the per family income won't be less than about 20 to 25,000 a month.
Okay.
And if you actually happen to walk through that basti during the afternoon and you smell the food that is being cooked, you know these are not people which are in the BPL category.
Right.
So, but there are people who probably have come from villages, and it's all the migratory population, have come from villages, don't have the wherewithal to say, why is education important? Yes, they are struggling to earn money and keep the children, you know, well fed. But there is a lot of things lacking in their lives, which we thought that people like us could add value to. Marginalized because, yes, they are earning enough to feed their families, but probably not enough for them to send their children to schools where education could be, you know, provided to them at a subsidized rate.
But do they actually believe as parents that there is a need for education?
Not at all.
They don't.
And that's my biggest challenge. That's my biggest challenge, because they don't think education is important. They feel they've done it all their lives. They're providing for their children. And education comes the least of the priorities.
So their thinking is, what is the need for education?
Absolutely. This is, we've been doing what we've been doing all our lives. Our children will do the same. And that's where our intervention comes. And that's where we need to educate the parents to say the world is changing. And you need to do something more for your children. And just being maids and drivers, it's good enough, but not good enough in the generations to come, because 10 years from now, nobody will want to take on domestic help. They'll, you know, be being self-sustained.
So give me an example of someone who you've actually managed to change. And how did you go about that?
Okay. You know, the challenges there are more than success rate. But yes, we have been able to change the mindsets. Initially, we used to have a lot of problem about attendance. Parents obviously didn't think education is important. They leave their homes at 7 in the morning. School starts at 9. Whether children are coming to school or not coming to school really doesn't matter to them. Initially, we were a little casual about it because we felt, let them get used to the idea. Because, I mean, when we started Naidisha, it wasn't only about the education. We also thought we need to create individuals who are going to be, you know, well-meaning individuals who are going to be adding value to the society, and a little discipline helps. So it's been 6 years now. And believe me, we have changed mindsets of parents, because now we don't, and I never have to go around the Bastille asking for people to come and join school.
Okay.
We have children coming throughout the year to say, Madam, admission. So that means they have seen the value. And where we've actually made a difference is that we've actually given scholarships to some deserving students and got them in admission into schools which are slightly more expensive. So, I mean, from that perspective, I feel that, yes, people see the value. Now, when children come to school in the morning, they're well-dressed, they're clean. Initially, it never mattered to them. They're clean, they come on time. And, I mean, we are still fighting. We are still, you know, overcoming a lot of other issues. But I think bit by bit, at least around that Basti, we have made a lot of difference. And then, see, Harijan Colony is one school, very different challenges. We have started another school in Indira Colony in RD City, where the challenges are completely different. Because Indira Colony has all these agricultural people, and that community doesn't think education is absolutely required. I mean, even now, when we started, today I complete 1 year in that school. So they absolutely didn't think that education was something but which could add value to all their lives, because those you still have those old gentlemen sitting on charpais with hookahs, said, "Humne kabhi nahi padhai kiya, our sons have never studied, then why would our grandchildren study?"
Correct.
We started with about 10 children. Today we have 52.
Amazing.
So I'm just saying, because they've seen the value, they know that the children come, they go back, and they tell the parents, you know, today this.
So I think that it's the children's aspirations which will probably drive.
Absolutely. That's, so I mean, that's where we, and we call it a little blackmail, but you know, we have people coming in, giving them gifts. We take them out for outings. We take them out for a picnic. And I feel it's okay if, you know, they need to see the other side of their lives. And if that kind of makes them want to come to school, because they realize that there is something much more enjoyable than just sitting at home.
Correct. So I have another question, you know, for you, Seema. You've got 160 children who you have got admission into top schools.
Yes.
While it is laudable for them to go to all these schools, when they come back to the place where they are living, do they have to go through any social pressures? Saying, oh, this guy now thinks that he's going to so-and-so school.
Yeah, see, what happens is I've consciously not admitted them under that quota.
Okay.
You know, the 25% quota, which we are actually eligible for.
Yeah.
That is deliberate, because I know that puts a lot of pressure on the children. And there's a lot of discrimination, not only from the children, but also from the teachers. Because, you know, you do belong to a different segment of society.
Yeah.
And so consciously I've taken the decision that my children will not go to that school. So if they're growing up in an environment where there are children like themselves, then I don't think there are pressures on them to be able to, you know, whatever. And of course, I mean, I think now that we've reached that stage that you're 6 years old, and I've managed to do my networking and I get my children admission into these various schools. So now we have started thinking about what next.
Correct.
And that's exactly what we are thinking about. And we've created and we've started this program called Create Safe Spaces.
Okay.
Because see, we've realized that these children live in an environment where it's all community living. They get exposed to a lot of things which maybe our children don't. Probably our children get exposed to them on the net or whatever. But there are a lot of things that happen in their homes.
Correct.
So they see, they live in houses which are 10 by 12 and everything happens in that house. Whether the father is having an affair with somebody else or mother is getting beaten up, whatever. So we to add value to that and to make them a little more, what should I say, aware of their rights and what how it'll help them to fit into the social pressures, whatever, when they're actually growing up. This would, I'll tell you more about this program, but that's really helping us to help the children understand what is it that they would like to do and learn besides just the ABCD and 1, 2, 3, 4.
And do you have any plans, you know, once the children finish school, for them to go into higher education and jobs also?
That's my aspiration.
Wonderful.
When so that's something that we would really want to do. I mean, that's now we have started thinking about it. Now that I have a little corporate help support from corporates is coming in now, because probably we built our credibility and our reputation to say, yes, we do produce good children. And so that's the next step.
That's fantastic. And, you know, you spoke about everything happening in one room. And these are large colonies. Plus, there are elders living there, the children living there. There must be some very serious community issues, you know, which deal with interpersonal relationships, age differences, gender differences. How do you handle some of these? Because truly you are an outsider.
Absolutely.
Walking into their lives.
Walking into their lives, and as far as I'm concerned, I actually walk through the gullies and I start screaming at people or tell them, you know, why is this child standing here? Why hasn't he gone to school? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, if you find drunk people hanging around there, because it's a large community and it's all so you have drunk people, and I call out to the neighbors to say it's Kota, because you know for them it's a way of life. It doesn't matter to them whether somebody's drunk or, you know, there are a lot of times the children come to school and during the break they get lost. So I actually track them, go there, and I realize the father is actually sleeping inside with somebody and he refuses to come out. So, I know I'm intrusive. I'm getting into their lives bit by bit. I haven't started doing it in Indira Colony yet, because I know it's a very different, very close community, but this one I can still do. Yes, we have a lot of issues, like sometimes you don't even know who's the father and who's the mother. Because when you start getting with, we used to have a little girl who used to come with bruise marks all over her body. Then we realized that she has a stepfather.
Okay.
Who would come in to the house in the evening and start beating her.
Oh my God.
So, I mean, there, then we called the father, threatened him. The next time I see a bruise on this child, I'm going to call the cops. We have another child. She's about 6 years old, Muskan, very, very sweet girl. Both the parents work. The father's just not interested. So she comes from across the road, which is, so I don't permit children to go back unescorted. So we also have a library in the school. The library runs till 5. So one day I get a call from the librarian at 3 o'clock to say, ma'am, Muskan is still sitting here. So I picked up the phone, called the mother. I said, agar 15 minute mein aap nahi le jaoge apne bachche ko, toh main usko police station mein jaake chhod rahi. You know, so they just, it doesn't matter to them. They've had children, but are they their responsibility? No. It's just that, say, okay, hum unko khana khila rahe, they come looking untidy, maybe they haven't had a bath. So those are the things which, you know, for us is, I mean, but I think over the last 6 years, we've really overcome these initially. But the best part is there's a lot of acceptance.
Correct.
We've never had a problem of a parent coming, you know, and fighting with us for something, because they all know that we're doing it for their children, and all the children are being looked after because of us. So little problems, I mean, like when you say, okay, when people ask me what are the kind of problems you face in the community, I actually don't face anything, because it's acceptance. We've started these POXO classes, which is sexual harassment and whatever, and we never faced any problems. This time, 5 and 6 year olds, the kind of, you know, a little
stories.
Child taking out his private parts and showing it to the girl and say, haath laga de. Then we saw a little girl with a little note in her bag saying, Priya, main tere se pyar karta hun. So obviously my children are not capable of doing that, but somebody is teaching them.
Yeah.
And that's when we need to get the community together. And that's what we do. We get the parents together to say, you know, they are your children. You need to protect them. You really want them to be on the road or, you know, some, because so it's like a huge family now.
So that's amazing.
And that's why I say it's the happiest time of my life, because when I walk into school, it's like a stress buster.
Right.
Because you walk in there and a child will look at you and say, ma'am, aaj aap acche lag rahe ho. You know, little things, 5, 6 year olds, you know, I mean, it doesn't mean anything to them. But for me, I just feel that at least they're learning common courtesies.
So one more question on Naidisha before I move on. What is the role the government plays to support you?
At the moment, we really are not looking at any government intervention. Of course, some of our children do get admitted into government schools. Because the older the child gets, the more difficult it is for us to get them admission into these private schools. Because it's earlier it wasn't age specific, now it is age and class specific. And if a child is coming to me at the age of 11 or 12, there's no way he's going to get admission in any of these schools.
Correct.
So we do admit them to these government schools. And as far as now all this sexual harassment and all these little awareness that we're creating, of course, this government, the 1098, so we talk about it a lot to say, agar aapko koi problem hai, you must call this number. So to that extent, I mean, yes, they are in the background in case we need them. But otherwise, directly, we are not looking at any intervention at the moment.
Understand. Yeah. So, Seva, moving on, you know, you're also associated with the Azad Foundation and the St. Jude Child Care Center.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about this.
All right. So Azad Foundation, I was associated with them for almost about 5 years. And this is all simultaneously.
And what does Azad Foundation do?
I'll tell you. So Azad Foundation actually also works with women from the marginalized communities. Okay. They teach them to be drivers.
Okay.
They teach them to be drivers and they actually get them licenses and get them jobs either in private homes or also commercial.
Okay.
So I don't know whether you've ever noticed some Meru, these lady drivers are all from Azad Foundation, which is then this company called Sakha. They take them on and they are the ones who get them jobs.
Oh, okay.
So Azad Foundation is just not about driving. So it's about a 6 to 9 month program where they teach the ladies, you know, women's rights, self-defense, road maps, communication skills, grooming skills. So it's some ladies even take a year long. So, but then it's all managed by Azad Foundation. So I used to be training them on communication skills and also ready for work.
Okay.
So because, you know, when you're getting ready for work, the basics you have to be taught. So, you know, to say that, yes, time se poncho, body odor nahi hona chahiye, hygienic hona chahiye, whatever. So I got involved there. So for 5 years, I was associated with them. And each time I see these drivers, they wear green uniforms. I feel really happy to say, you know, and the kind of challenges some of these women face, you know, because they want to and have a lot of support from their mother-in-laws.
Yeah.
But the husband says, you're not leaving the house. And if you're leaving the house, and he catches and he breaks his finger, he says, now go and drive. You know. So I'm just saying, but yet you see some of these women are so determined and that's what you like. And that's what you say, okay, let's go, get on with it. Let's help them as much as possible.
Fantastic, fantastic.
So St. Jude, yes. So St. Jude is an organization I'm still associated with. St. Jude Child Care Center, basically they offer boarding and lodging to children who are cancer patients. And they are allowed boarding and lodging with a pair of guardians. Whoever it may be, Nana, Nani, Mummy, Papa, whatever. And so they stay in St. Jude during the duration of their treatment.
I see.
In Delhi, of course, our center is in Noida and that's our biggest problem. Center is in Noida and they come to AIIMS.
Okay.
So we provide them transportation, they're given rations, they're given the entire treatment. But once, it's only for children less than 14 years. And so in there are 35 such centers across the country. So wherever there is a treatment for cancer, we have a St. Jude.
Wonderful.
So I work with them. I help them with their HR issues and training of the staff. So, I mean,
you're doing some amazing work. So let me move on to a few questions for you personally. You know, before we started chatting on camera, you spoke about a mentor.
Yes.
Tell me about your learnings from your mentor.
So the one person that I talked about was Prabhat Agarwal. And he's been responsible for Nayi Disha today.
Okay.
So whatever, wherever my success in Nayi Disha, I attribute to him.
Okay.
And because it started off informally, like I said, it just happened. And I had no clue on how to go about it. So he already had an established trust. So he says, okay, I will manage everything behind the scenes. You run the school until when you're ready to stand on your feet, then you form your own trust and then I'll move out.
Okay.
So 2014 to 2016, He managed it entirely.
Wow.
All my funds would go to his account. He managed it every month. He would give me a check to say, okay, this is your money for the month. Mm-hmm. I would give him his my accounts. For 2 years, it happened. Right. And then he says, I think you're capable of managing it on your own. So then I registered my own trust.
Okay.
He is, I mean, when you meet, he's run many big companies. Mm-hmm. And then he just decided. Today also, he's working on this safe hands, which is about these accident cases that happen in factories.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no compensation because you know how it works. Yeah. If my heart cut gaye, you, in any case, you're a contractual staff. Mm-hmm. There's no compensation. So what next? So these people have been now almost about 3-4 years safe in India. That's what he, and then he's also working with NASCOM. He's been responsible for Rahagiri.
Okay.
So, and when, like I said, I would have very much liked him to come and talk to you, but he's the type, he does things, stays behind the scenes,
okay,
and does not want to talk about it. And I think that's great quality.
I agree.
You know,
agree.
Because if he's, and he's good, doing some great work. So I really look up to him. Every little thing that, I mean, if I run into a problem or there's something that I need to check about in the social development sector,
wonderful,
he's the person who's really
wonderful,
brought me here today.
Wonderful. So, Seema, two more questions for you. One is, what would be three adjectives that describe you?
I'm really very hardworking.
Okay.
Very hardworking, very determined.
Okay.
I'm very practical.
Okay.
And I'm a happy person.
Wonderful. And that comes across very, very nicely in my chat. So, I've got one last question to ask you, and this is on failure. You're dealing with so many children. You're dealing with such a vast group of diverse individuals, and yet 25 years in the corporate sector. What have been some of your learnings from some of the mistakes you have made?
See, when my mistake, when I look back and I say, should I have left my corporate job at that time? Was that a mistake? Initial years, yes, when I was struggling, like I said, I was going through a lot of personal problems at that time. I felt maybe that was a big mistake because at least that gave me that stability I was able to sustain. But the person that I am, I think probably that was a mistake that I should have continued. But the person I am, I felt there's no looking back. And fortunately for me that I got a lot of opportunities to be associated with two large training organizations. And I trained for about 9 years. I gave it up because it was a lot of travel.
Correct.
I mean, 5 days in a week, it used to be out of Delhi.
Mm.
Though it was a mistake, but in hindsight, I don't have any regrets. It's happened. It's in the past. What I'm doing now is really my purpose.
Fantastic.
And I think that's what keeps me happy.
Fantastic.
And that's what keeps me going ahead.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Seema, thank you very much. It's been an absolutely incredible conversation. I wish you lots of success with Naideshab. You're genuinely changing the lives of children.
We try.
Good luck
yes.
to you.
Thanks so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You podcast. Be sure to visit tbcy.in to join the conversation, access show notes, and discover fantastic bonus content. You can follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Simply search for the Brand Called You. Thank you, and see you next week.